You know it, guys. We're back. This is it. And I'm doing the intro today. Can you guys believe it? Here's Jake. Welcome. Welcome back, Jake.
Hey, thank you for doing the
John
intro.
Johnson. And yeah, how's it going, Jake?
You know, this might be a better intro because the intro that I just wanted to do was just yell mustard very loud.
Oh, well, welcome to my show. We don't do shit like that here, all right?
What do you put on your hot dog?
What do I put on my hot dog? Nothing. It's just the oh no.
Mustard.
I was gonna say I do put one thing in my hot dog. It's nacho cheese sauce.
Dude, you put mustard and ketchup with lots of
no,
mustard. Come on now.
Mustard. Who does mustard? It's gross.
People in Chicago, they're about the mustard. You don't put ketchup on there.
But anyway, Jake, you know it.
You hear the music?
Yeah.
Now you know how frustrating it is. Let's cue the
yeah.
music. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up with Don, Vic, Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Do you really want to be Victor now?
No, but I had to pay tribute today for the episode.
Yes, yes.
Our fallen friend, our hero, Victor forever.
Spoilers.
That's my chant now. No, yeah. Yeah. If you didn't know, there will be spoilers in this show.
Later on, yeah. Yeah, there will be. But we're talking our top shows and movies. I can't say top 10 because I originally was going to be top 5. Then it was top 10. Now it's top 15.
Yeah, Jake couldn't handle keeping anything under 10.
I mean, I could just keep it at 10, but there's at least two shows I want to talk about. That's on my radar. There's like 9 really good shows. So we're doing top 10, top 15 shows. I have a top 15 list. I actually have a top 20, but I can't count 5.
I wanted to point this out to everybody on this call. He's like, make a top 10 list of movies and shows. So I did a top 10 between both. This guy's like, I got 15 shows, 10 movies, let's talk.
Yeah, I could have done a better job of explaining what we were doing.
But my list will be better. It'll be fine.
And originally we were just going to do Penguin, which we are doing after the top 10.
Yes.
So, all right, let's get into it. Donald, it's a me, a Mario. What are you nerding out on?
Well, it's a me, a Mario. I'm nerding out on a few things now.
Okay.
It's the winter season. Winter sucks. You know, it's cold.
I have two things.
But I got the PlayStation Super membership thing.
And nice.
I'm ripping through Ratchet and Clank.
Nice.
In order.
Nice. All right.
One of my favorite games of all time. That and then Jak and Daxter I'll do. The other thing I've been nerding on, Sea of Thieves. Have you ever played that game? You're on a ship with your buddies?
I haven't, but I know about it.
It's such a tasky, tedious game, but you have to work as a team, which is kind of fun. Like someone has to mast the sails and do the anchor, and someone has to drive the ship. And then there's other players also in the same world trying to complete missions that can loot you.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It sounds like a time that like would be fun until you got attacked constantly and you're just like, fuck this game.
No, it's tough if you try to do a big mission because your big mission shows up on the map.
Oh, okay.
And everybody will, we know where this guy's at.
Yep.
And then they come and destroy you while you're trying to beat the mission. You're like, what the hell, man? Help me out. We could share the reward. And they're like, no, we will kill you and take what's on your ship. And we always have nothing on our ship because we're trying to do a mission. So they kill us for no reason at all. Because they think they can loot us. It's like, I'm not looting a bunch of places. I'm trying to do the mission to get loot.
I think
kill
I could.
Me after I loot.
I think I would have a lot of fun playing that game just because I've been playing or watching a lot of One Piece, which is about pirates.
Oh, and then. That's all it is.
And our D&D campaign is we are essentially mercenaries on a ship. Like, we are kind of pirates. So it's very pirate-esque campaign. So I'm like, I'm getting my pirate fill, and I'm like, that sounds fun. See if these actually sound fun.
I just talk like a pirate, too, as I play. Arr, matey, hoist sail, starboard side. Two in the pot. You know, it's super dumb and corny.
It's awesome. Nice. I've been playing so I've been really wanting to get into the video games too lately. I was deciding on two recently, and that was Red Dead Redemption 2, which I played in front of you. So I'm gonna play that again. As well as Mass Effect, because there's an announcement of a Mass Effect show. You're a Mass Effect?
I mean, I don't mind it. I think it has an acquired taste. It's not like Red Dead Redemption. I would give Red Dead Redemption a top 10 game of all time.
It's up there. I don't think Mass Effect itself, or Mass Effect the trilogy, it's one of those, I think the experience itself is wonderful. It's one of my favorite experiences of all time. But I will admit, between the three games, and I just finished Mass Effect 1 in the last like 2 days. Mass Effect 2 is the best game. It is probably one of the best games of all time. Like, I think you can make an argument for Mass Effect 2 just by the way everything kind of builds up to this one big moment. But Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 3 are disappointing in its own ways. And Andromeda is also very disappointing. So it's I have a lot of love for the series. I'm excited for the TV show. Mass Effect 1 is fun to play through, but it's very problematic. Mass Effect 2 is the peak of the series. Mass Effect 3 is, everything's better, but narratively, it's like the end of the world, but you're trying to like have fun with the role playing. You know, like, hey, I'm gonna go do a side quest, but the world is ending.
It's like Uncharted. the same thing.
I wouldn't say it's like Uncharted.
Not the same thing, but they did the same concept in the last game of Uncharted. Like, learn to have fun, do that. Why am I doing this kind of style? Well, I guess different.
You question totally it. Different. Yeah.
Yeah, you question, like,
well, it's
doing a side mission, the world's going to die.
Well, think Skyrim, think Fallout, think all these, like, role-playing games, and it's like, hey, I have all these quests, all these places to explore, but the main story is so imperative that, like, it just doesn't feel natural to go do these other side quests. And that's the problem with Mass Effect 3. Is there's a lot of fun side quests, but it just naturally doesn't feel right. It's the problem with Fallout 4. Like, if you go do side quests before trying to find the sun in the game, it feels wrong, because it's like, no, this is, like, the main thing my character would be wanting to do.
Yeah, I think that's some of the balance of some of the open-world games. Because you got to find that the balance is tough.
Yeah. Speaking of open-world games, I kind of want to talk to you about my Dungeons & Dragons session one that I ran myself. So, I would have invited you. I have 6 people in this session. So, this started off was Brian and Haley, which I believe you met.
Yep.
They wanted to do D&D. And I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to run a D&D session. So, if you know, you guys get a taste of it, I get a taste of running it. Let's run. I'll do a one shot. I asked Moser and his now fiance, and I'm going to be a groomsman in that wedding, and I'm very happy, proud of you, Moser.
Moser, woo-hoo, Moser.
Mm-hmm. So he's a part of it. Sapphire naturally wanted to be a part of it too, because she hasn't played D&D. And then Tom was like, "Hey, do you need help running it, or do you need someone to wrangle everybody in?" So now he's in it. So we have 6. And Tom's like, hey, can my wife also join? Because it's a lot of couples, and I'm the only one without a couple. And I'm like, yes, I would love for her to be a part, but I'm like, we're at 7 now. And I'm new. I'm like, more the merrier, but I'm like, I
got to manage 7 different people now.
Maybe. She needs some convincing. So I might make her like a half. I might make her like a NPC she can like manage. I'm coming up with something.
Yeah, do an NPC that you can come in and play at any time.
So we did a session 0. And it was kind of like our premise for our D&D campaign. So it's instead of a funeral, it's a wedding. And everybody's connection is they're all part of this town. And the whole premise is that the town's not exactly what it seems. The town, 10 years ago, this mayor took over. And the town started becoming prosperous. So at this wedding, the son's mayor is getting wedded, well, married to this noble folk from a different town. And it's very unclear. We don't know why. And it's very rushed. And the way that this village works, they do a bunch of traditions during the wedding. And usually the first thing they do is they get married, and then it's a weekend of celebrations. And the first thing they do the next morning is a hunt. And it's usually the groom, or the groom does the hunt with, like, his either groomsmen, or he does the hunt with, like, people he selects. But instead, he selected the party member. And our party is full of people you wouldn't pick. Like, one, Brian's, he's a warlock, but he's an artificer. He's like a, he's an alchemist. He's doing a take on Bill Nye the Science Guy, but like medieval science with vials and stuff. So like that's his character. Like they took him for hunting. Doesn't quite make sense. Haley's being her version of Snow White, a character who was banished. Doesn't make sense for the hunts. One of them is the guy's bodyguard, Moser's fiance, Elizabeth. Her character is going to be the paladin. One of them is an urchin. One of them, and two of them are thieves. I have two rogues again in a campaign.
And of course they're both thieves, right? No one could be an honor, a thief of honor? Not a one?
Tom's character kind of is.
Okay.
His is like lawful evil, but he has like, I don't know. His character, he's got something going with it. So the whole premise is like, we go to this town. Then there's this whole hunt with the wedding, with this weird party. And it doesn't go according to plan. Like, people out of the woods, these bats start attacking. This guy who was with the bats also attacked. And they kind of learn that, like, they kind of got set up to get killed. Which would make sense because, like, none of them should have been hunting. And so when they got back, the bride is dead. And they got to figure out what the fuck's happening. So that was more or less session zero. The role-playing was kind of a mess because I spent like an hour or two on it. But I was expecting it to go off the rails like our campaign did. Like I was expecting it to just they go focused. Crazy.
That's because they had the couples. The couples were focused on playing as a team.
Yes and no. Tom had his own thing. He was going to steal from the mayor. So I had to set up a like improv that section. But, like, what I did have set up to steal, because I knew Tom was going to steal some stuff, and I had people guarding that stuff, and I had, like, different items, like, wedding gifts from them to steal, but no one interacted with that. So I'm like, ooh, there's just, like, wasn't enough natural interaction. So it was kind of a, it was an interesting campaign. But, like, and a lot of them were like, well, we're kind of bored with the role-playing aspect. So next session, which I'm doing next week.
They were bored with the role-playing aspect?
I got to be more intentional with it. I was expecting him to, like, just carry like our session was.
That's funny.
No, right. I needed Ro. I needed Ro to, like, make up a team and just start gathering people out of, like, nowhere. And being,
out of
like,
the blue, you're like, what the fuck's going on?
And then the DM come just on, been like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
So it was more or less people were just kind of there. But like once we got into like the game and once we started getting into like the battle, because I did a skills challenge for the hunts and then we did a encounter. It seemed like they really enjoyed that. Also, they tried killing my NPC. And I know why. Like the main quest giving NPC, his name is Parker. He's the son who's got married. He flirts with everybody he sees. And he's very like, I gave him 9-5 on attack because he's very much like, you know, Legend of Korra season 4. You know the Earth King Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Think him, but somebody who thinks they're actually good at adventures. Like that's what I'm going for.
Oh gosh,
they wanted to kill him. Haley was plotting to kill him, and I was like, don't. I don't know what you do if you kill him because I don't have a second quest giver.
Usually, yeah, you bring him back or whatever. Reminds me of one of the campaigns I ran. So I was running this campaign. These guys.
Ooh,
were new.
You ran a campaign? Oh, nice.
Yeah, these guys are brand new, and they just lived on this castle area for a long time. Same kind of murder idea.
Uh huh.
And really, they get chosen for a quest by the king. because they all ended up having to arrive to the party late.
Mm.
Had to make him a BS excuse. You're arriving to the party late. Give me an excuse of why.
I like it.
So the king rounded them all up. Like, it's really fishy. Something happened here. You guys are all rounded up. You guys all arrived late. What's going on? Which one of you was it? And whatnot. And he's like, basically questioned them. You guys must have done something, right? And he goes, all right, if you guys didn't do anything, you got to prove it. That's how I started the story.
Hmm.
So I sent them off on this dangerous mission, right? To prove that they're innocent. They're not going to be in jail and stuff like that. And the first thing the group does, because they said, the king's like, before you go, make sure you pick up your supplies, right?
Yep.
They get to a potion shop. I'm like, level one characters, you know, session zero. I want to rob the king's potion shop. You're in the castle with the king, all the guards. These probably are level 16 characters. You're gonna rob the potion shop right now after being questioned for murder. You sure that's a good idea? And I'm like, then they roll. I'm like, you. Anyway, three of the characters died right away. I was like, did you guys not think to role play this through at all? Like, if you were a real person in that situation, you're like, yeah, let's fucking try to rob them now.
Good on you for killing them. I think I went too easy on my characters when they did stupid things. But no, good on you, because, like, you're either getting killed or arrested.
Yeah. You're arrested, like, and you're in the king's, like, that's the whole, like, these are the top of the tier people for the whole mission. Like, you're not going to be able to beat them.
I mean, at least you killed them, like, right away. Like, okay, do you want to try again? Should we start over? Or just, you know what? You got new characters.
Yeah, you got to try again with a new character. And then I had to find the next section. I had to bring him back in somehow. King was rounding up people around the city to help out after he murdered three of you. And he let the other two people be innocent, but the other people got scared and they wanted to honor the king. You know?
Nice.
I was like, you guys suck. It's the role playing part. Good. Let's rob it. And I was like, all right, you're all
dead. Nice. All right, should we get into the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's time for a news quickie.
And it's news to me.
You got like, you're like maybe a second too early. Hey! News quickie.
No, this is news to me.
This is very on topic, by the way. Fantastic Four, first steps, officially wrapped filming in the last week. And also, this was part of the rumor mill. It's apparently really, really good. Like, initial test screenings, really, really good movie. Of course.
It's got Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, I'm expecting. We're talking about Fantastic Four later, but yeah, it's wrapped filming. I know the guy who played Galactus got a Galactus necklace as like a gift, and it was kind of like an Easter egg of like, ooh, is this what Galactus looks like, or is this like comic book Galactus? A little bit more news. We don't have a whole lot. Troy Baker has officially confirmed that he's going to be in the next Naughty Dog game. We don't know if that's Last of Us Part 3. Most of us, I don't think, expect Last of Us Part 3, but Last of Us Part 3 would make sense. But there is a new game that apparently is a lot about open world, and like it's supposed to define the open world genre. And it's Naughty Dog, so I trust Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I trust Naughty Dog. Jack and Daxter, baby. All the way.
I mean, Uncharted, Last of Us, like, they make some really good games. But an open world, like a truly open world game, that's kind of what they're alluding to, is fascinating. They've been flirting with an open world game for a while between Uncharted 4 and Last of Us Part 2. They have open world sections.
Yep.
And I'm like they've been flirting with it. So I don't think it's going to be Last of Us Part 3. But I don't think it's going to be Uncharted, but we'll see.
I think it might be a new game title just to like break in something new. It's kind of what I'm hoping.
I would be okay with it. I do want Last of Us Part 3, though. I don't want to wait that long.
What if it's Jack and Daxter? You know how epic that would be? Open world Jack and Daxter again.
With Troy Baker as the villain?
Oh, yeah.
That could be. I feel like they're going more adult, though. I think they're going to do a new series.
Jack and Daxter. That'd make my dreams.
Last little bit of news. this maybe is a rumor too. Fallout Season 2, they are filming in Vegas, which is a spoiler as, or not a spoiler, but just that's big as is. Somebody walking in Vegas today saw that Fallout Season 2 is filming around a motel, meaning that we might get Novak. For those who played Fallout Vegas, New Vegas, Novak is a decently big location.
Yeah, you're going to get Fallout 76 Vegas for sure. That's what they're going for.
Mm. All right, a little bit on the rumor mill. Wanda to appear in Doomsday, but that's her first appearance since Multiverse of Madness. It does. I think she's going to be a lover of Doctor Doom.
So Robert Downey Jr. and Wanda Maximoff, and then she's going to turn and become good at the end, and then get Wanda back. That would make sense.
Yeah, it seems about right. Other
she's
news:
the character, so
Robert Pattinson and MCU. Talking. Marvel's talking with Robert Pattinson.
That'd be cool. Too many people give him crap for Twilight, and I don't understand because he's a really good actor. It's like, have you seen him? He's so good.
I was looking at the comments of this like posting, and like a lot of people are just like, yeah, or not Gambit, Cyclops. Like, he needs to be Cyclops. I'm like, that fits.
Yeah, that fit.
He would be a really good Cyclops. I feel like he might be too old, though.
Yeah, he might be a little too old for Cyclops.
We'll see. It depends on how they like bring all the X-Men in. I think prime Cyclops, I think he's the right age. If they're going for the older, like middle-aged man Cyclops, he'd be perfect age.
Yeah. It'd be a good role for him, though. I wouldn't mind that at all. I would love to see Robert Pattinson. He'd be in DC as Batman and, you know, main character in Marvel would be sweet.
Might as well. Last little bit. Untitled film. Is being there is an untitled film being filmed in the United Kingdom 2025 for the MCU. I'm assuming this is Doctor Strange.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I assume something different. That was funny.
What are you assuming?
I was assuming Spider-Man.
Ooh. Spider-Man would make sense. It's not officially announced, but they have been talking about the script. No, Spider-Man would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, that. Yeah. I don't. It'd be weird that it's UK, though, but I know that they've done that before. Far from home.
You do Far From Home. I mean, you have a lot of different places you use for it. I mean, just like Chicago using for Gotham, right?
Yep.
Gotham City's Chicago. All right. You have similar style.
Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man Deadpool movie. That's in the rumor mill, too.
Ooh. There's a lot that of Spider-Man one. Epic. Yeah. Spider-Man.
That's all I'm waiting for. Spider-Man Deadpool.
It's
I can die with jizz in my pants, all right? That'd be all I need in life. I'd be so happy.
Or if you're a Japanese anime, just a bloody nose.
Yeah.
All right, should we do movies first, or should we do TV shows? I think movies would be easier.
Well, my list are together, so.
Ooh.
You can do TV shows, and all that. I'll find my TV show list. But yeah, let's do movie. Let's do movies first.
Yeah, let's do movies.
There's more TV shows than movies, for sure.
Okay, so I'll go from 10 up. Say I have a top 10 list. And I will say... Yeah, and I will say my first 5 are smaller. I'm like, I'm not... They're on my radar. And this is how I'm going to treat it. These are movies that are on my radar. So either for Don't Involve Me or as a parent. They're on my radar. Okay. So, number 10, Lilo and Stitch remake.
Jake.
It's not a good year for movies, man.
Why?
I have a kid.
You know what? This live action bullshit crap. Like,
I agree.
Stop it.
I agree.
Make something original. Give me original story. Give me something with meat and potatoes and something brand new to get me invested and interested. This live action remake and this nostalgic shit. They're redoing Moana again. Moana just came out like 10 years ago. What the hell are you guys doing?
No, I agree. Anyway. I agree.
Yeah, it's fine. That's my thoughts on that one.
You're not going to like my number 9 either. How to Train a Dragon, live action.
I'll fucking stab you. Of course.
It's on my radar.
Hey, it's 9 and 10, okay? I'll give you some grace, period. Wait, I'm going to wait till you get to your top five, then I'll start going.
Okay, number eight, Tron Ares. Video game movie.
Yeah.
Was a big fan of the last one that came out, I believe, Tron Legacy. It was really interesting. So it's on my radar. I'm intrigued by the idea of it, but I don't have a whole lot of hope.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that one. I think there's a great idea there. I mean, I just don't think I'm going to see that one in theaters, I'll be honest. But I will.
I agree.
When it comes back out. That's on my radar.
Number seven, Mortal Kombat 2. Carl Urban as Johnny Cage.
Mortal Kombat movies, man. Like, they haven't got it right yet.
Like, 90s nostalgia. Mortal Kombat. Dun 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 dun.
Let it go. Let it die where it should die.
No. I want one good
Avatar. You have the story. Just give me that story, but live action if you're going to do live action. And then they give you a whole story that's completely different. It's like I will kill you.
I agree.
One job.
I agree.
Quite the same. Do this, but live action.
The last one wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great.
We will make our own story and do our own thing with this. What?
Hey. If they keep trying, they'll get it right eventually.
Eventually they'll get there.
So maybe Mortal Kombat 2, Carl Urban as Johnny Cage.
Well, Carl Urban, that's the only thing saving that movie for me. If Carl Urban wasn't in it, I'd be like, fuck that, I'm out.
All right, here's my number six, and I think this movie's going to be absolutely trash, but it's on my list. Minecraft, the movie.
Are we even friends, Jake?
We are friends!
I mean, I was doing a top... These weren't even on my top 10 radar list, man! Where are you going? I can't wait to see your top five.
Oh, hey, my top five is a lot better. Really,
that Minecraft movie was made for six-year-old kids, all right? And then also, good concept. Like, Minecraft, you played it. Does that need to be a movie?
No, it does not. It's like, it could be a good movie.
It's terrible.
It's like the Lego movie. It could be good.
Yeah, it could.
But if you're just going to make a movie and just be like, Daryl Lovick's Jack Black, I'd be like, no.
I mean, that's what I feel like the movie is. Like, Minecraft, greatest selling video games, because a lot of people just get lost in it. Or the creation of it all. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we'll put Jack Black in it, and kids will want to see it because it's Minecraft.
Peaches. I don't know. Yeah. He's probably going to sing something.
He has to. There's no way.
All right. Let's get to my actual list.
All right. The top five. Thank God. Whew.
I feel like I'm missing a Marvel movie, but... Yeah. Uh-oh. I think I am missing a Marvel movie. There's a fourth one.
What's number five?
Is there three or four?
Well, I only have three on my list.
Or maybe there is only three. Okay, we'll start with this. Captain America Brave New World, number five.
I'd say that's not a bad. As far as movies go for me, I think I had that at number four. Let's see how many movies I have on my list because I did top five of all. Number three. I have that at number three.
Okay. I hear so many bad things about this movie. I hear this movie is atrocious.
Yeah, that's what I hear, and that's why I'm moving it down. I was excited because I really, really like the actor Anthony Mackie.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I'm like, please don't mess this up. And it sounds, the more and more I hear about it, it's like, oh, they didn't do a good job at this.
Well,
they renamed the title, they redid shoots, like, uh-oh.
Well, here's the thing, like... It's the people who did Falcon and Winter Soldier, and that show is okay. It's not great. It's not a great show. I think I give it a 2+, maybe a 3- if I'm being.
I like that show.
You like that show?
I love Bucky Barnes.
I like Bucky Barnes too. I like the characters, and that was the show I was most hyped for. But I don't think it's a relatively well written show. I thought they had good concepts, but I didn't think they really bring the. They didn't really bring the story together. Yeah, it's
true. Towards the end, it was a little bit weird at the end and stuff.
The story kind of sucked. It was like, we have villains, but like, I forget what her name is on the Flag Smashers, but I didn't think she was a solid villain. Like, she wasn't believable.
I don't think she was a very solid villain and believable either. But I agree where you put it there. I just had something else below it that I'm excited for.
What'd you have below it?
A Kraven the Hunter.
I didn't put it on my list. It comes out in 2 weeks. It's 2014 or 2024.
Oh, well, it's 2025. I thought they deleted till March of 2025.
Nope, it's 2 weeks.
Oh, they did get it in this year. Well, it still counts on my list. Good enough. Hasn't been released. Doesn't matter. It's not on your list. It's okay.
It would be somewhere between 7 and 8.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
I did just talk about Kraven 2 last week, so for everybody listening, I've talked about Kraven.
Anthony Tyler Johnson, man. Like, he's... I mean, have you seen Bullet Train?
He usually bores me as an actor. I know you're not frozen.
You son of a gun. All right, I'm going to act like I didn't hear that. Anyway, we're still friends. We're still friends.
Number 4. Avatar. Not there, Last Airbender. Avatar, Fire and Ash. Number 3.
Why do people like those movies? I don't understand.
They are visually really, really good, and it is an intriguing concept.
They're visually great. It's the boy in the blue heron. Visually beautiful.
Yep.
The story is pretty...
meh. Yeah, I agree.
But that's okay.
Number 4.
I didn't have that on my number 4 or even on my list of top 5. But again, I only had a top 5. I probably would have put it on there if it was below top 5. What I have on my list at number 4 is Superman.
You have Superman 4?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. It's definitely in my top 3.
Well, it's in your top 3, so we're not too far off in the Superman one, but Superman is number 4.
We're kind of off.
Yeah, we are kind of off a little bit. Our number 3? My number 3 was Captain America.
Okay, my number 3 is Thunderbolts.
I bet you our number 3 is Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fake outrage. And he's back.
Okay, I'm back. Don't worry, guys. I had to go scream a little bit into a pillow for about 30 seconds here.
I know you like Bucky.
We'll get to where I put Thunderbolts.
Is it number 1 for you?
I want to hear why it's number 3 for you.
Okay. I'm excited for it. And initially, it was on the same level as Captain America. Now I'm hearing the trailers for Captain America are meh. Now all the screen testing are atrocious. Thunderbolts, the trailer looks amazing. Like, it looks genuine. Like, I'm genuinely more excited the more I see images and stuff about it. It looks like a fun movie. So it's number 3 because I have 2 other projects that I'm a lot more excited for. Thunderbolts seems like it's one of those projects that really doesn't... It might have a really cool story, but I don't know where it comes into play with the overall MCU.
Well, I have Thunderbolts at the number 1 spot for almost not really the same reason, but quite the same. I think because it's a good way. You get Suicide Squad, because pretty much is Suicide Squad if you think about it.
Mm.
You have all these misfit characters banding together, and you have Bucky, of course, in the movie too, which is always a plus. And I just like the neat concept of pulling these characters and misfits to really become the heroes who never really got shine, or maybe won't ever get shine in their own movie, or hopefully this propels their characters forward. And it sounds, the way the reviews are going so far and the way it looks,
mm-hmm.
that it really does propel a few specific characters off their own. One of them being Bucky, and the other one being Black Widow.
Yeah, Nova.
What is her name? Yeah.
Yep.
The actress that everyone is obsessed with that I just don't know her name off the top of my head.
And Taskmaster is also in it, and hopefully Taskmaster is like actually Taskmaster, because he's a fun villain.
You mean she's a fun villain?
He, as in the comic book counterpart, she hopefully becomes a great villain.
Hopefully becomes a great villain, because mm-hmm. I think you could do a female in that role. And Taskmaster is one of my favorite villains ever. And then they murdered it with that movie.
Yeah, they butchered it.
We're hoping it comes back to life in a little better of a scale. They just get better and better, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is number 1 for me for a lot of those reasons. Small characters getting to shine. And it sounds, the way it's sounding, is going to propel the rumor mill. It's propelling, you know, of course, Bucky and the Black Widow character into these different larger roles you can see them becoming. Hopefully.
And Red Guardian. Red Guardian's going to be the biggest hero from this.
And then people keep on telling me that I look like Bucky Barnes sometimes if I dress up right. So, you know, biased.
Yeah, you're more Doctor Strange. Did I tell you that I have a student that I work with always calls me Doctor Strange because of my beard?
No.
Yeah, and I just laugh, and I think of you every time because I'm like...
You do have the beard.
I do. Well, Doctor Strange has more like the hair. He doesn't really have the beard, but more or less, I'll take it or leave it.
So I'm thinking you missed one of the greatest movies, which is okay.
What's that?
I want to hear your number two and your number one, and then I'll do my number two.
I feel like I'm missing something.
You are missing something, and it's quite tragic, and I almost as bad as Thunderbolts.
My number two is Fantastic Four. And
I didn't think, wasn't sure that was coming out next year, or that was going to be 2026.
No, Fantastic Four is 2025.
Fudge, it's not on my list.
And I debated putting it number one, because I'm pretty hyped for Fantastic Four, and also has amazing reviews.
I guess if Fantastic Four was going to be in there, I would put it below Thunder. No, I would have it at third, push everything else back down one.
Okay.
You're missing a big one.
What am I missing?
Missing a big one. It's so sad.
What am I missing?
It's fine.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay.
You're number one?
Superman.
Superman.
Number one.
Initial screen reviews, or initial, like, from what people are saying, like, they're worried. I'm worried a little bit.
Oh, I'm not worried.
Based on how they're casting and shooting. I mean, James Gunn, so am I worried that much?
I'm not worried.
That's why it's number four.
I
missed the Henry Cavill.
So this is why I'm really excited for Superman. And I'll explain it. And I'll also explain, like, why I'm excited for Fantastic Four, too. But my argument for why Superman is my number one movie that I'm looking forward to is, one, it's not technically the start of the DCU, because Creature Commandos come out next week, and that's going to be the official start. But this is, like, the first big project. Like, this is the first main project of this series. It's James Gunn. I trust him. Like, he's made great movies every time he's, like, made a comic book movie. Peacemaker is a great show.
Peacemaker. Don't even get me started. That's the worst.
And we'll be talking about Peacemaker later in a little bit. But Superman is... I don't know. He's such a big character. He hasn't been done right in 40-plus years. And 40-plus years. Man of Steel didn't do him right. Superman Returns didn't do him right. And I trust James Gunn to make a good character. And I'm excited to see what his twist, his vision on this character is. And I'm excited to see the start of the DCU, because it's not going to be an origin story. We have several characters in this movie. And they're different. They're obscure. And I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's my argument. I like the idea of the Superman. I mean, I'm a little bit indifferent on you and somewhat of the origin side of it all, bringing too many characters again, because I think that's where DC had their flaw, unlike Marvel, is we just brought Batman, Aquaman, you know, everybody together. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
We are focused more on Superman characters, so that's better.
It's
James Gunn, right? James Gunn.
JSA. JSA characters.
James Gunn.
Yes.
Yep.
What's your number one?
My number one was Thunderbolts. About my number two?
Yeah.
My number two, and you missed this, and it makes me sad, was Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's not on my radar. Sorry.
Well, he doesn't like Mission Impossible. Crazy.
I never watched
Mission
it.
Impossible. No, wait. Oh, my God.
Stop. I've watched Ghost Protocol, and that's it.
That's the
worst one? Yeah, I know.
You went in the chunk order, and you're like, let's take the worst one, and let's watch that one, and see how the rest of them go.
The one in the middle.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, I have not watched Mission Impossible. And it's...
Yeah, Mission Impossible, the last one they'll make. I mean, until they remake it, apparently. And I guess that'll be less than 10 years now.
Last one was really good, wasn't it?
Last one was really good, yeah. It got shadowed by Barbie and Oppenheimer. But as far as the movie goes, it was way better than both of them. Way better.
Yeah. That's a series I need to get into, because I hear great things, like, and I hear that it keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah, it's been so exciting. You're like, when's the next one coming? When's the next one coming? When's the next one coming? I'm very disappointed that Barbie, which I think is an awful movie.
I still haven't watched it. I still
think is a just a horrible movie, right? And like, people love them. And I'm like, and it got shadowed by that. And it's like, that and Oppenheimer, which Oppenheimer was a big deal.
I still haven't watched Barbie. And not because I didn't want to. It's just more or less like...
It is not good, and I don't know why people like it. Like,
my parents watched it.
Stupid.
My parents watched Barbie, and they didn't hate it.
That's amazing. Like, dumb humor doesn't
okay.
get me. I like intelligence kind of style. When it's so dumb, it just doesn't do it for me.
I'll go watch it and give you my take.
Mission Impossible, final one.
Okay, that's a good one. All.
Ethan Hawke, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, should we do TV shows?
TV shows, here we go.
All right, so here's my honorable mention. These are, I should have probably put Mission Impossible for honorable mention, because it's not on my radar. And this, again, for everyone whose name's Mission Impossible or show or movie that I haven't mentioned or we haven't mentioned, we're not saying it's not great. It's just not on our radar.
Our radar. Yeah, it's opinion,
yeah.
right?
Mission Impossible, not on my radar. Not saying it's not good, not saying it won't be better than any of the movies I listed.
That is a shame, but it's okay.
All right. So here's my honorable mention of shows that I'm probably not going to watch. And if I do watch it, it's going to be a brand new show. And all five of these shows that I'm going to put in honorable mention, I know I should watch them. All right. White Lotus is one of them. Black Mirror, which I have watched up, I think, the first five seasons. It's solid. The Bear. Handmaid's Tale and Euphoria.
All right.
Not on my radar, but I'm aware like they're culturally significant.
Top 10 after that or
top 15.
Oh Jesus.
On my radar. So these next five are also kind of honorable mention. So Dexter Resurrection. Don't know why the fuck this show keeps coming back. I enjoyed the first four episodes or first four seasons of Dexter. It's great television. Very
Why
much
does it get revived. Who knows?
The last four seasons of Dexter was awful. Like the last season literally just butchered the character. They brought him back for Dexter New Blood. It's actually a really good show, Dexter New Blood. But now they're bringing him back. They're calling it Resurrection. Again, this is like the second time he's died. And came back. And it's just kind of like, why? Who's asking for it?
This is why this one is not even on my radar. Exactly. Who's asking why? Why is this coming back? The nostalgia? Because they can't think of anything new, so they bring back characters that people loved in the past? If you want to do that, bring back my boy House and Chase from House MD. You have one job if you're going to do something.
Yeah, I agree. 14. It's Welcome to Derry, the prequel show, very much under my wife's radar. She's looking forward to the show. I put it on my list because I'm like, it's on there. I enjoy it, the story. I enjoy Stephen King, so it's on my radar. Number 13, Eyes of Wakanda, animated, Disney Plus. I don't know how I feel about it. But if it's good, kind of like what if, like another what if story, but it's all focused on Wakanda, I'm intrigued.
Intrigued, but yeah, like I said, it's not in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by it.
Number 12 has a place in my heart. I hope it's great. I don't know if I'll talk about it on the show in any great depth, but I'm excited for it, but I'm also sad because Dale's not going to be a part of it. King of the Hill remake.
Without Dale?
Well, he died. The actor died, so I don't know how they... I'm just excited because I'm a huge King of the Hill fan. I'll throw it on every once in a while. Yeah. God damn it, Bobby.
King of the Hill was great.
So, that's on my list. That's number 12. Number 11, it's weird that it's here. I'm excited for it, but I feel like I should have it in the top 10. It's also, I got a new cup.
Oh yeah!
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
The Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I have it in my top 10.
Okay.
Because I did end up making, I think, in there. And I have it at number 7.
Ooh.
Just for my top 10. Just because it's Spider-Man, man.
Well, there's two in my top 10 that I don't think you will have on your list. You should have it on your list. But you don't have it on your list. All right. Here's my top 10.
All right, let's do this.
Number 10. This is a show that I'm kind of nervous about. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I hear good things. Test screenings say it's going to be decent. At number 10, I have Ironheart. It's live action. Hey, but Mephisto is going to be in it, they swear, this time. The joke is he's supposed to be in it. That is actually legit.
Yeah, the Ironheart thing. I just don't like having a Tony Stark legacy and then having a young girl take that mantle. It's just, you know, doesn't fit well with me, and it makes me have no interest in that character at all.
I agree that the way they're kind of doing it in the from Wakanda Forever, and now they're kind of, they didn't do the origin story that they did in the comics. When I started reading I started reading it when Riri took over, and I really like her character, and I really liked her story.
Her character and her story is great. I just don't like the way they're doing this character and story. Like, they took that and they're like, oh, well, let's just change it to be like this.
Yeah, and it's...
I don't think Ironheart was very popular during the comic book world at the time, and I think that's why they decided to make this, but honestly, it probably shouldn't have been done.
Comic book-wise, yeah, but this show, it feels kind of... feels like they did enough where now they have to bring it out, but I don't know if they have initial plans for.
I think that was the problem. I think they thought a lot of people would like the idea. They didn't think it through all the way. Like, I just don't like the idea of... You don't need another Iron Man.
Yeah. And you can argue this isn't another Iron Man, but
you could.
The suit didn't look great in Wakanda Forever either.
Yeah, but that's the problem. The comics, it is another Iron Man.
I know.
You can't say it's not, because it is.
Oh, I know. She is her own thing.
She is her own thing, yeah, but really she is another Iron Man. That's why I think MCU, they should have just left it alone. And I think there's a lot of people that follow me with that on there. Like, you made such a great Iron Man. Just leave that there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't know. We'll see.
No interest, but that's okay.
If it's good, though.
Yeah, if it is good. I'm still going to watch it. Don't get me wrong. It's a TV show. It's free on Disney Plus. I'm watching it. All
right, number 9. This one, okay, this is where this list gets really good. And this is why I have a lot of shows that are, like, not in the top 10. Number 9 may not come out in 2025. It was supposed to originally come out in 2025. Season 1 was actually really, really good. But then they had this big... one of their actors died. And they kind of delayed it. And this show is Gen V Season 2 at number 9.
I had Gen V Season 2 at number 10. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so
you're pretty close.
It's a good show. This might be higher, but like... I don't know where to put it higher, because one, I think this would have been a higher show before season 4 of The Boys, but season 4 of The Boys kind of downplayed the Gen V. It kind of just, it was very separated. So my interest for season 2 is lower, but really, I think this year is just very heavy for nerdy television.
It is very heavy. It's crazy.
Which is why I separated from TV shows initially. Because I'm like, holy shit, I can't do it all. I don't know where Superman would be on this list.
Yeah, that was tough. There's a lot of great TV shows, I will say, that is coming out.
All right, number 8 is another maybe. But also could be a big... like, this one could be arguably number 1.
Okay, if I feel like our top 5 must be the same. But our, like, 5 through... or our 10 through 6 is different.
All right, number 8 is... A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, if it comes out.
Okay, I had that higher up on the list, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I feel just like Gen V, I'm like, this should be higher, arguably. However, I don't know much about it. I don't know if it's coming out, so my interest level is low. But it could be the show that everybody just jumps on. So it's number 8 for me. I'm excited for it. It has potential, but I don't know enough to put it higher. Again, if this was a weak TV show year for nerds, this would probably be a lot higher. This could be number 1.
So Yeah, I had my number 10 at Gen V. Number 9 is King of the Hill. And my number 8 is Suits of L.A.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen Suits, I love the show. It's a great show.
Wait, is Suits of L.A., that's Stephen Amell's in it, right?
Stephen Amell? Oh, yeah, he's the leader. He's the main character.
Okay.
Yep, but there's the old Suits show was amazing with, gosh, I don't know the actor's name, but Gabriel Macht. Yeah, it was fantastic. I loved his attitude. I loved him the way that is. Nice. It's kind of a similar style, just a little with Stephen Amell instead. Yeah, nice. I have Suits of L.A., number 8.
Nice. All right. Number 7. You might hate me for this being this low, because again, this is another one that I'm like, it feels low, but it's low on my list because like, I can't put it higher. Peacemaker season 2.
Oh, I had a tie at number 3 for Peacemaker. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it a little low. I love Peacemaker. Peacemaker.
I do too.
I give that a 5 for a show. I mean, I watch the intro every time Peacemaker comes on because
it's in my head.
So
do we really want to taste it?
Yeah, I have it in my top 5. It is tied with something else. So technically, I did do 11.
Okay.
And you guys knew my 7 was Friendly Spider-Man. But yeah, Peacemaker, James Gunn, John Cena. John Cena is the only good besides, I think John Cena, Dave Bautista, way better actors. The Rock sucks.
Yeah, agreed. I said it. So, yeah, Peacemaker, I'm really excited for it. It feels weird not putting it higher. There's a lot of really good shows I'm really excited for.
Our top five is shaping out still, though, our top five, besides the Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I ain't going to tell you where that's ranked.
Okay. I have, like, 2 shows that I feel like you don't have on your list, and that's okay. They're pretty high up there. So my number 6, again, this should come out this year. I think it is basically confirmed it will come out. Stranger Things season 5.
Oh, yeah, I guess we had a different spot there. I just, not on my radar.
Not on your radar? That's fair. Yep. That's fair. I never reviewed Stranger Things on this show, but like I've been a follower since the beginning, and I'm like, it is culturally a big show, and season 4 was a blast. It's fun. It's a lot of D&D references, but it's more horror than D&D. I need to watch it now since that I have a D&D like outlook on it, because it just references D&D stuff. I don't know. I think it's a really good show. I'm hyped for it. It arguably could be higher on my list, but my top 5 is my top 5 for a reason, because it's a really, really strong. So yeah, that's my number 6. What's yours?
My number 6 is Wonder Man.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about Wonder Man. Oh, hold on. Okay, Wonder Man's on my number 10. Wonder Man's my number 10.
Yeah, Wonder Man's my number 6. I'm excited for it. I think it's a cool introduction to a character I didn't think anybody, you know, similar style didn't want to expect, but it's always a fun character, so I am in for it.
It's supposed to be very meta, even more meta than She-Hulk, and it's supposed to be like an actor trying to get into the MCU, and then he gets into the MCU, and that's kind of his power.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's awesome.
I'm intrigued. Wonder Man, though, it's good. That's a good one. That's low on my list. It's number 10. And honestly, Ironheart might be higher because I know more about Ironheart, but...
How dare you offend Wonder Man?
All right.
With that travesty that's going to show up on screen.
Donald, you might hate where my number 5 is.
Depends what you have at number 5.
So, number 5 is... It's probably a really good TV show. This might be the best TV show on this list. And it comes out on my birthday, April 22nd, Andor season 2.
You're close. So I had that tied at number 4. I realized I tied something. So I might have actually did close to a top 15 with you with shows. So yeah, number 5, that's not what I have. I have it at number 4. We're not too far off because I think there's just 2 much more exciting things above that.
Yeah, Andor season 2, I'm like, this might be the best TV show on this list. Season 1 was a 5. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to just watch really good writing and really good television. And I forget the guy's name, but the showrunner from Andor, like, he's an amazing writer. I every time I watch one of his things, his dialogue's just fresh. It's fun. So I'm excited for season two. I'm excited for how it connects. I'm excited to watch Rogue One again after it and see how it changes.
Yeah. Because
the first season changed Rogue One. We've already did an episode on it and talked about that. But season two is supposed to change it even further, and I'm excited to see how it does.
Yes, that's, I mean, we're not too far off, which I'm kind of impressed, because I was thinking maybe Andor would be higher on your list, but it's always tough to tell with the way Star Wars is going, I think, too.
Yeah.
Because it really is, that and Mandalorian are the only thing that was keeping Star Wars alive.
Do you have Skeleton Crew on this list?
No.
Okay, I don't have Skeleton Crew, because technically, I to 2024.
I don't know how much you know about my number five, but I have a number five.
All right.
Chad Powers.
No, I know nothing about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Your fans are going to hate you.
Maybe.
Oh. Think about it. Eli Manning, Chad Powers. They did the whole skip being Chad Powers to make a TV show about it now.
Really?
And it's played by Glenn Powell. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks fantastic.
I'm going to have to check it out. When is that coming out?
When is the official date coming out? I think it was supposed to come out. When is the release date? I'm going to look that up now. Now I got to look it up. So. All right.
So I don't. So my number four, I don't think you watched yet.
That's.
You're looking it up.
2025. It was supposed to be in 2024, and they pushed it off.
Okay. So it doesn't have a confirmed date yet.
Nothing too confirmed. They said it was supposed to be November 27th. Maybe it did come out already. Maybe that's why. But it's supposed to have another season or a season.
Okay.
And I'm missing it, but I'm excited for it. Yeah, 2020.
All right, my number four. Let's get into it. I don't think you watched the show yet. I might have told you to watch the show. This is something that I've been into for the last year and a half now. And I don't think I brought it up this show. And this might be the first time I haven't brought it up yet in, like, the first 20 minutes. And that is the live-action One Piece Season 2. If it releases in 2025.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
It is. So, I finally caught up with the, I finished the latest arc. Wano. The finished, completed arc. It's 200 episodes long. We finally finished it. We're about 30 or 4 episodes off of everybody else. We're caught up. We're there. So season 2, One Piece season 2 is supposed to come out. And that's on my list because season 1 from Netflix was actually a lot of fun. And I think you should watch it. Like, if you're looking for something to do today, Donald, watch One Piece, the live action. Come back to me. Just come back to me.
All right, I'll have to watch the live action version. You're telling me every time we have a podcast, there's always like you're like the one guy like, here's my plug. One Piece. Thank you. You son of a bitch.
I'll warn you though. Here's the thing. I'm gonna warn you. You're gonna watch the first. If you watch it, you're gonna have a strong urge to watch about 1,122 episodes after that.
Just saying.
Hey, that's how I got Brandon. Last year, he was just like, I'm not going to watch it. He watched it. Dude was ahead of me in like 6 months.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I had a different one on there because this is also being rumored. Well, you know about Andor at number four, but I tied it with something else because this was the rumor. I think maybe that's why I tied a couple because it's rumored that it might come out at this time.
Okay.
And I just noticed that that's why they're here both together. So Andor at four, the actual one that's coming out. But there's a rumor that the Harry Potter series will come out in December during Christmas.
Ooh, okay.
So I was like, all right, that can be number four. I mean, I don't like that it's a remake already, although it has been 25 years this year. So
yeah,
whatever. But Harry Potter.
I think Harry Potter suits well in a series. I think each movie being a season, each year being a season, each book being a season.
Suit really well.
Hmm.
That's why I'm like, I'll allow it. Because there's so much detail in the books that they just didn't. We don't get Ginny's character growth. We don't get to see Luna. We don't get to see these characters develop as much as you see in the cinematic. So seeing it series, I'm excited for it. And the rumor mill is December of 2025. I mean, they're casting for it and doing the filming starting July. And it's a show and series, so they can start it as they go.
Yeah, so. That seems like a really quick timeline. But hey, if it comes out 2025, maybe I put it in 10.
Yeah, that was my 4.
That'd be my 10.
Yeah,
that makes sense for you.
My 3, I have 2 of them for that same exact reason, which is funny.
What's your 3?
My number 3 was Peacemaker, the official one that is coming out.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. All right. And the one that has potential and also be rumored to be bumped up is The House of Dragons. Instead of 2026, it'd be 2025. So I was like, oh, I hope they do push that one up. That would be great because that series is phenomenal.
Where would I put House of Dragons on here? That might be 8, honestly.
Gosh, man.
Dude, I am excited.
Jesus Christ, you're
left. I still have 3 that I don't think. All right, my number 3, Daredevil Born Again.
Jake, what do we get? Babe, boo, babe.
Mm-hmm. I have 2 more shows that I'm wanting to pump more.
Babe, what? No, you're not.
Daredevil too high or too low?
Way too low. Get the
okay. No.
Get
Daredevil Born Again.
Dying. Ever since we saw him in that Spider-Man film, it has been, you know, you said the most anticipated, the most ones we're looking forward to, and you're telling me through all these series, all this shit, you're not like, give me fucking Daredevil, and then they tease you every goddamn fucking time, and now we're sitting here, and it's coming, and it's gonna be here, and you're like, number 3.
Yep. Yeah, no, I stand by it. I stand by it.
I don't stand by it.
Well, you gotta wait for me to explain the rest of it. So Daredevil is number 3, and I'll be honest, there is an argument for why it's number 1. It's not, actually, there's an argument for my top 5. My top 5 I'm excited for. Like, Andor deserves an argument for number 1. One Piece deserves an argument for number 1. That's why it's hard. I put Daredevil number 3 because I don't know how I feel about Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's fair.
There is a chance this show sucks. And that's why I'm like, because the other 2 shows, it's season 3, season 2 of those shows. I know those shows are going to be good. I trust them. I don't know if I trust Disney Plus. Agatha was the best show so far, in my opinion. Agatha was like the only show that I'm just like, that was solid start to finish, except for maybe 1 episode. And that episode wasn't bad enough for me to complain about.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, it's not even worthy of like saying it's bad. It was just not as good. I don't know how I feel about Daredevil. Because like the Netflix show is great. I'm rewatching it now in preparation for the show. And I'm like, that was amazing. That team's amazing. I don't think that team's coming back. So we're doing a whole new Daredevil show.
With Disney Plus, yeah. That's
with Disney
the
Plus.
Fear behind it. But I trust and have faith in the Daredevil. They wouldn't have waited this long to make this happen. I mean, there's no way, right? I mean, then again, they did spend $180 million on the Acolyte, so that is the concern.
Yes. So I'm excited for Daredevil, but I'm nervous. Like, Andor Season 2 is going to be amazing. I'm not as pumped for it, but I know it's going to be amazing. Andor, or One Piece Season 2, I'm pumped for it. I'm also somewhat scared because Netflix, but Season 1 was really good. There's already proof that it's going to be good. Number 2, number 3, or number 2, number 1. Already have seasons.
Number 2 for me was The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Worthy.
I have faith in that series going forward, considering they're spending time to do it right again. And I think if people spend the time to do that show right, I'm just super interested in that era. Yeah, this one I know is coming out in 2025. It's a great storyline. It's worthy of
It's worthy. It could be number 1 on our list. It could be that good. If it's Game of Thrones level of quality.
Jake, you're going to look back on this day if Daredevil Born Again is excellent. You're like, I was an idiot.
No.
Why?
Number 2 on my list. It is right there, kind of. If you can read it backwards, Donald. Invincible Season 3.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Invincible fan. It is one of my favorite comic books of all time. First season was amazing. Second season was slightly less amazing, but still amazing. They had that weird split in the middle. I'm excited for Invincible Season 3. I'm excited for Conquest to come. No one who hasn't read the comics knows what Conquest is. I'm just excited for it. And I'm excited that it's coming out quicker now. We're not waiting 3 or 4 years. This has been a 1 year turnaround. So yeah, Invincible Season 3, I'm stoked. I'm excited for it. It's higher than Daredevil. And I had a hard time putting Daredevil below it.
Yeah,
I really did.
There's a lot of people that are huge in the Invincible series at the moment. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't one of those folks that got too huge in that, so I'll give you credit for that one. That was probably
if you want another show to watch.
Oh no, I've seen it.
Oh yeah,
it's not okay. Super high on my list. And I like animation, but usually when I watch animation, I like to watch animation in a movie style.
That's fair. All right. What's your number one?
My number one was Daredevil Born Again, you jackass.
Oh, right. It's a fair number one. It's a good number one. It's just not my number one. Because there's another TV show that I'm pretty sure is coming out the exact same time as Daredevil, and I'm kind of sad that it's coming out at the same time. And that is The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
You should. It's
I played the games. I was like, that was good. I should watch it with Pedro Pascal. People keep on telling me. They keep on telling me to watch it. Just like Mission Impossible. It's on your list.
It's really... Okay, so the game story is a lot better than the TV show. But I will say what the TV show changes or add, everything they change or add is actually to the betterment. You know how like you joked about it in the same podcast. Oh, we're going to change it for changing sakes. This show didn't do that. They're like, every change we make is to better the story.
Yeah, to increase it. I love when they change it like that. They take the overall concept and they make it better by adding details and factors. I mean, it's the same with like Harry Potter when they first created it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They went a little ad lib with Dumbledore a little bit to make Dumbledore seem more fearsome-ish.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I think that impacted the story well. So if it does the same thing...
Oh, yeah, it does.
That's just one I haven't seen yet. I haven't...
I'll explain, because Craig Mazin did Last of Us with Neil Druckmann. Those two did it together. Craig Mazin did Chernobyl. I don't know if you ever watched Chernobyl.
Yep.
Excellent documentary series. What Craig Mazin does is he adds little bits. Like the first two episodes has two cold opens that just send chills down your spine. It explores the lore, and it's completely all new added stuff. A couple of the changes they made, episode 3 of that show, they took a background character, and in the game there was a whole dynamic between him and the other characters that is fun, and I wish we kind of got to see it, but they decided to change it into a whole lover's story that wasn't in the original game. And it's about like essentially two men falling in love together in the apocalypse. And it was just arguably the greatest episode of television I've ever seen. And really, you could take out that whole story, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the main overall arching story, but it does have everything to do with the theme of the story. And it's just really well done. And then, like, the other bits of the pieces, I think the only complaint that I have about that whole show is it's too short.
Gotcha, yeah.
It was too short and they didn't have enough clickers. That was it. That was my complaints. I'm like, they needed one more episode. One more episode and a lot more clicker fights. So Last of Us Part 2, I'm really excited about. Because I want to know how they're going to do it. Because in the game, it's a tragedy. It is very... Yeah. It's a 5-part tragedy.
Very much so, yes. Yeah. So we'll see.
And it's written in a very specific way. I know the guy, Michael, who reviews the episodes with me, he was very just much like, he wants the story structure to change of the show. But I'm like, you can't. You can't change the story structure.
You have to leave it.
Because the way it was told did something that is, it challenges you.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's beautifully done. But people are going to hate it, but rightfully so.
Yeah, that's the one thing I understand. Because people always want that different ending like that, right? They want the perfect, beautiful storybook
mm-hmm.
Ending, and you—I mean, you're just not going to get that if you do season two of Last of Us. You should.
It's a tragedy, and it should be a tragedy. It should be a beautiful tragedy we see.
It should be a beautiful tragedy that is a real life. It's life, right? Life isn't mm-hmm. like that. It's not always the happy ending. There's.
It's so. I'm really excited. I really like the game, and I'm excited to play the game. They haven't said exactly when it's coming out. They just said early spring, and the rumor is early March. March, yeah. Daredevil's coming out first week of March. So I don't know. I would be happy if this came out like late spring, like May, so that like I get Invincible, then it's Daredevil, then it's Andor, then it's Last of Us. And then we get into, like, Ironheart, Eyes of Wakanda, Peacemaker, and those shows.
That makes sense. That's fair.
So, that's my list. And that's why it's been so hard. Because I'm like, Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, number two, makes sense. That show could be number one on my list at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't know where it will end up at the end of the year.
We should re-review this. Like, store this list. Okay. And we come back and re-rank these shows later. And see how well we... And our anticipation paid off or not. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is I think a lot of us do have Daredevil Born Again at number one, and that's why it took so long to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of people that are so anticipating this show, and also at the same time saying, don't fuck this up, kind of like you are. There's both sides of the story.
I'm excited for it. I hope it's amazing. I hope it's at least a 4-minus. At the very least, like if it's below that, I will be disappointed most likely. But Invincible, The Last of Us 2, I know are going to be good. Like I have at least a 4-minus threshold for them. Invincible might be a 3+, but we'll see. But the rest of them, dude, One Piece, I'm excited for. Andor, I'm excited for. Stranger Things, Peacemaker. Gen V, I'll be excited for if it comes out. Even like Ironheart and Spider-Man, I'll have a little bit of excitement. And then King of the Hill, obviously. After that, it's like, eh, we'll see.
So I did mess up one thing now that I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Is Chad Powers will have a mini release today at 7 p.m. to get you introduced to him. And the full release will happen in 2025.
Okay.
So you got to watch it tonight. Chad Powers. It's football related, man.
Send it to me. All right. Yeah. Should we get into Penguin?
Let's get into Penguin. This was...
Okay, so I have
thoughts. How do you want to do this?
Okay,
this
so
is,
I...
This is deep.
I have two thoughts on this. I'm gonna do the rating thoughts first, and we can talk ratings, and then we can get into my bigger thoughts, my psychology Rage, thoughts.
Yeah, psychology thoughts. Gotcha. Yeah, I like that idea.
So
I think this one's a good one to start with ratings.
I compare this to Agatha when I did the review, and I compared it to Agatha a lot. And we talked Agatha. Because I watched both of them week to week for the first 5 episodes. And I will say this. I think Agatha, from a week to week basis, a lot better show. I was more excited for Agatha than I was Penguin. And I thought the ride of Agatha was more fun and more fulfilling than Penguin was. However, the way Penguin ended... I think I'm going to remember Penguin more than I do Agatha. I think Penguin has a lot better message, and I think the way it ends, I think I'm going to eventually have a better praise for Penguin than Agatha 3 years from now.
Yeah, I'm on. I see your comparison because you did watch some. I just binge watched it. So
yeah.
Different story because I had a different feeling with Penguin. I was building with the fire because I just watched. You know. Took a break, but yeah, the fire you see in it be built was awesome.
I watched the last 3 episodes. So I watched 6, 7, and 8 by itself. So I binged those 3 together.
It was done really well, and I see the very good comparison. Agatha is a really actually good show to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
I think Agatha is definitely more like superhero floofiness to it. Yep. I think this show had a lot of realism in it, and that's why I enjoy it a lot more. There are some realistic factors that play into life that cause these type of situations, and the best part about this movie is I could feel them. Mm-hmm. And they did that very well. I will mm-hmm. say you could feel the realism involved in the situations and emotions. Now I mean I don't think it's like absolutely perfectly done, because I think there are some slower and duller moments, but
yeah.
overall, I think it was pretty well, and you could feel the story, especially at the end.
What rating did you give it?
I would give this a 4+.
Ooh, it's exactly where I landed. 4+, right where Agatha's at.
Yeah, it's 4+. Not too perfect, but it's so hard to get a perfect for me.
Who's your MVP?
The whole show?
Yeah.
For the Penguin, MVP.
Mm-hmm. Who's the most valuable character? MVC.
Well, that's...
It's between two.
For you, it's between two. I want to say Victor is an MVP just because I liked the story there. But I'm going to give it to... I'm blanking on her name. Sophia? Mrs. Falcone. Sophia Falcone, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, Sophia's honorable mention for me. I do like her. Her character.
Victor's got to be the MVP, I think, pulling the story. So...
All right, my second thought on this, and this is where we have a mutual relation that we can both relate to. And that person will be nameless. We have a connection, that's all we'll say. But I want to make a comparison. Because after I watched Penguin, I realized what Penguin was. And I fucking loved the idea for it. And I really hope this was the intention.
I think it was. This is the Penguin.
I think the Penguin was a narcissist simulator.
Yeah, it was definitely, if you want to call him, a gaslighter. I mean, that's all he did.
Yeah,
he basically manipulated people and gaslit them into doing what he wanted. The whole show.
So this is the take that I did 2 weeks ago when I talked about the show, and I'm like, I relate to this a lot because I got really close with a narcissist, and I've had two known relationships with narcissism. One being a family member who is more benign, but I've heard other people deal with it, and I've seen the signs of it. So I have a benign relationship with a narcissist, and then I have our mutual relationship, which wasn't benign at the end. And I realized something, that this show, The Penguin, Vic is us. We're Vic.
Yeah.
Right?
Vic forever. That's the joke.
Yeah. Like, we're Vic. We go in there. And we're like, oh, Oz is this really cool gangster. You know, like, we buy him. Yep. We love Oz for the first 7.5 episodes. Because we're Vic, right? And we are, like, somewhat cheering for him to become this mafia person, this leader of Gotham. And so, like, in this entire time,
the underworld, you know, he's bringing the small people up. You're like, yeah, fuck it, let's go, Oz. Fuck these big guys. Like,
yeah. And he has this, like, this big talk, this big speech. It's also, I think, this episode, this whole series was a 2024 election cycle and a recap. I think that too. Because I think Sophia is Kamala Harris. If we're doing
it that way. Because she's a little bit different, but
yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this: the conservatives see Kamala Harris as Sophia Falcone, like crazy, like unstable, like that's how they see her, and maybe rightfully so. Either way, we'll get back to the comparison I was going to. So we're Vic, right? The audience is Vic. And Vic jumps into Penguin, and he's like, yeah, I'm with him, it's me and him, we're fighting side to side. I saved him 3 or 4 times in the series. I saved his life, and I helped bring him to this place of power, and it's me and you, ride or die. But this whole time, the Penguin essentially kills everyone close to him. He betrays everyone close to him. He kills essentially the entire Falcone family, the entire Maroni family. In the last episode, he kills Vic. And the whole point of this is these narcissists, these monsters, these villains, and this is what you have to be to become this person, to become this villain of Gotham, this rogues galaxy character of Batman. You have to be this, you have to be the Penguin. You have to be this narcissist monster. You have to betray everyone and backstab everyone. And, like, I compare it to my own experience with narcissism, and it's very similar, right? On the outside looking in, Oz looks perfectly fine. He looks like somebody who's for the middleman. He's for the small people. He's building.
He's growing to be more confident. He's growing in a character.
Mm-hmm.
He made some poor choices.
But if you get close or near his orbit, he will stab you. He will stab you in the back, and he will do it without a second thought. And this is where I'm like, every narcissist that like I've been a part of, the people who've been close to them, always get chewed out. And it's always the same story, too. They get close, they get spit out, it's their fault, not my fault, they're the bad person, yada, 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 right? Our mutual relationship, you've been close. You've been that person. I've been that person. You've heard, this person did this, yada, 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 right? They're the bad person. But you know this well enough to know that the cycle always continues.
It's like a continuous rolling cycle. I mean, I take it with my own relationship. And like, that's why it hit me so well. That's why I did the Victor Angular Forever. Because I think about some of my own personal experiences with it, you know.
Mm.
It's so hard to catch yourself in the moment. You just care for these people, right? You're doing the loving thing and trying to do what you know what you think is right for them.
Yeah.
Recently, I was in Minnesota trying to do what's right for someone. They're also going to remain nameless and trying to help them out with their thing to get them back to where they needed to be. And instead of them understanding that at all, it was woof.
They used you, and then you're the bad guy.
I became the bad guy. It's like, what the heck happened? Mm-hmm. And it's the same situation. Then you got that and our mutual person here. I mean, mm-hmm. my whole life, like I said, I feel that's why I felt with the show. I feel like I'm Vic, the guy trying to do the good thing, trying to help out, trying to make his name for himself. You know, trying to help with these other people too, get the power back on. You know,
and
all
it
that
doesn't
kind
matter.
Of stuff, really.
And you could do you could do everything right.
Yep.
You could save that person's life many, many times, and they will always stab you. They can't help it. They will always stab you. And I think of this I think of Donald Trump is the big example that we can all kind of relate to, right? He is known to be that guy. And if you look at it, like everyone who's gotten into his inner circle, same thing. Oh, Mike Pence, yada, yada, yada. He wasn't loyal, you know. Name any person, name any of his 44 cabinet members. I think 40 of them are like against him in the last election. Yada, yada, yada. They did something. It's their fault. It's the same cycle. Rinse, wash, repeat.
I mean, today's world, it's kind of scary though, too. Like, it has such a realism factor to it in today's society. And that's what made me so kind of fall in love with it.
Yeah.
The way society runs today, it almost is running like that, which is so
it
weird.
It is.
It's like the better person, you know, is stuck in a horrible situation or whatever the situation is, and then it becomes somehow those people's fault or anything. And I think of a situation with his mother, too, is huge, right?
Yeah.
The love story there, which is creepy in itself. And like learning to let go and never letting go of those items, and it goes to that same that same personality of how they just don't let go of those things. And you know, there's certain things you know when the time is up. And even that Victor at the time is like, all right, it's, you know, he's a vegetable, it's over. And he understood that too. And you're like, but this person, this individual, doesn't understand that either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't understand themselves. It's like, holy shit, this is so real.
Or was it the scene where, like, Sophia and his mom caught him and his mom called him out and, like, they're just trying to get him to admit that he, like...
You won't do it. Yeah.
And he can't. Literally cannot admit they're wrong. And I'm like, that is narcissism.
That is my life right now. Like, oh my God. That's why I'm out here in Utah. Because they wouldn't just talk about it. Like, do you understand what happened? Like, this is what happened. I'm laying it out for you what happened. Are you going to understand that? Do you take responsibility for this? Will you guys talk? And they're like, nope.
Gaslight.
Nothing. And you're like, how in the world? You couldn't explain it any easier. Try to be nicer about it. It doesn't matter. And that's how I felt about this whole show. And that's why I loved it so much. I think it's better than Agatha. Is because it is like that. Like, it is so connected with my life, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah. It is... Once I realized what they were trying to do with this show and the message they were trying to bring, and like, And like the last scene too with the bat signal, and like the entire time I'm like, where the fuck is Batman? Where is Batman? Where is Batman? Because it doesn't make sense. Batman should be there. And hey, that's the worst part about the show. That is the part where it doesn't feel believable that they don't ever talk about Batman.
Yeah, there's never that Batman.
But I like the fact that they waited until the very end, because I do like the message of like, oh yep, he has hit that symbol of villain. He is now on Batman's radar. He is here. He is a monster. Yep. And Batman's trying to take him down. I do like that.
I do like that whole story with the Bat. I think it's a great way to introduce, especially if you keep Robert Pattinson as a Batman. Part for his two. Batman character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's an excellent way to do it. And if I just think Batman is like a real person, he really is. Like, at that moment at the end, they always talk about Batman in the comics, Batman everywhere, the Dark Knight trilogy. He is a symbol, you know, for people. Mm-hmm. And that really did offer, you know, for those victors out there in the world and all that, this is your symbol. There is a symbol of hope. And Batman stands for that for these particular individuals. So mm-hmm. I thought that was one of the coolest things, because after that ending scene and that symbol came up, I was like, oh, there's your, you know, that, especially that narcissism that we deal with in our lives. It's like, yeah. Wow. Okay.
There's
that's
hope.
What Batman stands for. And I think that did an excellent job to portray that.
I do, yeah.
Feeling for me, personally. That's why I didn't mind they didn't talk about Batman. And like you said, he's on the radar. And there is that person out there, that thing, that being, not a person, that being that's out there that will avenge this kind of attitude, you know? It makes me laugh about this attitude, because I just don't, I don't get it.
We just need a Batman. We'll just dress up, we'll start beating up narcissists.
I say, we could try. We could do it. Batman or Robin. I'm Batman.
I'm Robin.
Yeah, you're Robin.
Gee willikers, Batman.
Yeah. But for the series, to me, it, once I found out when they were trying to lay out the story slowly, it started off, I think, slow for me. I was like, all right, why am I watching this? And it's then really I started slow. Kicking up, and I started picking it up. I'm like,
oh.
And then it's just crazy. Like, that personality. Like, it existed. And to this day... Even the mom with a tear at the end and everything. They just wouldn't just accept. Like, you fucked up. Mom even telling them in person, like, I hate you.
I didn't even realize they were doing the narcissist thing until they said the word narcissist in the finale. And I was like, wait a second. And then I started putting the pieces together. And I'm like, oh, no, yeah, of course he's a narcissist, that match. I'm like, oh, no, they're focusing. They're focusing on.
Yeah, they dialed that, like. The writers did that. That's writing. Like, that's where I go. Like, okay, you wrote that well.
Okay. What I love about, and I talked about this last week with Creatures Commando, Skeleton Crew, because Skeleton Crew, I don't think anyone's looking forward to. But I'm like, if it's anything like Agatha, and if it's anything like Penguin, both these shows are not things that people ask for, but they are stories that someone came up with that was like, hey, I have this really cool idea with this character. Can we make this into a TV show? We need to make this into a TV show. And the studios bought that story, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really wish studios did this more often. Where they took
I think
more,
this is what we need more now.
Mm-hmm. More niche stuff. More like, and James Gunn is doing this. This is why, like, he's been really huge with this messaging. And, like, Batman, Brave and the Bold, Batman Part 2. Two Batman films that are coming out in the near future. They aren't officially greenlit yet. And his big messaging is, I will not greenlit anything until I see a good script. Until I have that story, nothing is greenlit. We will announce the project. We will announce that we're working on the project. But I will not greenlight it until the script is in. And I really love that messaging. I love it for the fact that, like, Agatha, it was a good story. Penguin, great story. We didn't need this.
Yeah, we didn't need this at all. This was just nice. Yeah.
Actually, I feel like mentally we probably both needed it.
Mentally, I definitely needed it, because it made me feel like, all right, it's someone else.
It's whoever validating. Wrote this,
I'm telling you, whoever wrote this had similar situations happen. They're like, we need to put this on screen, because there's probably a lot of people that feel this way. And you're like, yeah, you got me, you son of a bitch.
I'm happy that I got to talk Penguin with you, because, like, it is something that we can relate to. And it was just like, once I watched the final episode, I was like, oh, damn, Damn, that's what they're going for. All right, that Agatha was better, but my God, Agatha doesn't have this impact.
Yeah, like I said, that realism impact for me is, like, that's what gets me bought into stuff. That's why some of the animation stuff I can't watch or series as much.
Invincible.
Like, short story, but like, getting the realism involved in a show to make it, like, this could potentially be a real thing is a cool way to do it. That's why I like the Batman first movie with Robert Pattinson. It felt more like a real Batman instead of this BS.
It was gritty in a comic book way.
Yeah. It was good.
Don't shit on Invincible.
I'm not shitting on Invincible. It's just why I haven't watched Invincible. Like, I like these fleshed out real life stories because I feel it.
I like Invincible, and I'm happy it's animation. I like Invincible because it is a fleshed out. It's fleshed out of, like, what do superheroes do when they're not saving the day? What's their regular life like? How are they dealing with the emotions of the situation? And that's why I really love Invincible, the story. I don't think you could do it live action. I don't think you could do it justice in live action, which is why I'm really excited for Invincible. Is that the only animated one that I have? Yeah, everything else is live action on my list.
Yeah, Wakanda,
Spider-Man.
But those are lower down the list. Yeah. Here, but yeah.
So, all right, that was our 2025 preview. Did you like my new cup, by the way?
That cup is pretty cool. I'm jealous. And there's an advertising monster on your screen every so often.
Nice. Sapphire cannot keep secrets for the life of her. She does not know how to, like, she'll buy me something and she'll just vaguely give me hints. And I'm like, you can't do that with me. I'm like, I will read into context clues way too much and figure it out. And that's what she kind of did. She's like, hey, I went to Spencer's and I bought something for us. And she comes back, like, not for us, but bought. Yeah, I know how that sounds. She bought herself a gift.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds,
Spencer's. She bought. I meant to say she bought something for herself, but she mentioned that she bought me a gift at the mall. And then she kept mentioning Spencer's. So I'm like, all right, it's a gift at Spencer's. She bought herself a giant cup just like this. And I'm like, oh, it's really cool. It's like my other drinks. She's like, yeah, but it's bigger. And I'm like, oh, it's like you're comparing size. She's like, yeah, you don't have to worry about size. And there's multiple reasons for that. And I kind of just gave her that little look of like, I know the obvious one, but the second one doesn't make sense unless you also got me a cup. And then she just gives me a smirk and then walks away. I'm like, all right, now I already know what it is. And then it's funny because I make an offhand comment to Scott. I'm like, I think I know what your mom's giving me for Christmas. And he's just like, oh, I know, it's a Spider-Man cup. And I'm like, dude.
Mother like son.
I'm like, dude, you're not supposed to say anything. And it's so hard because I'm like, I teach him not to lie. I teach him like to tell the truth and be honest. But there's times now where he's just, like, honest in the wrong spot. And I'm like, dude, I have to tell you what a white lie is and why.
All right, there's good. Yeah. You got to teach him about the white lies at a certain moment. Okay. Not supposed to lie. But there's situations where you.
There's some nuance here.
There is a gray area. A little bit of gray before you just.
It's like, just so you know, I'm not telling you your Christmas gifts because so you have that surprise. Please don't tell me what mom gets for me. I don't want to know.
It's supposed to be exciting. New.
Now every time.
I tell people the gift I'm giving them sometimes too, especially if I'm going to spend $800 on somebody.
Holy shit, dude.
You got to know what your gift is.
You are a very gifting person. And like, I keep pointing out things that like you gave me when we moved, like lived together. That's still like all my, like the giant Spider-Man painting that's like on my stairs. I'm like, that's from Donald, just so you're aware. Yeah. This random Pop Funko, Donald.
Yeah, just give it away. What's it going to do good for me, right? It's just a gesture of a token. It's one of the ways of my love languages, I guess people say. Acts of service is huge. Yeah. It's my action to tell you like, hey, I love you. Here you go. I appreciate you. You know, it's kind of one of those things.
Stab.
It doesn't have to be anything big either. No. I like this. Like I always tell people, small stuff is the best gift to give me. You give me an ice cold cherry Coke. That's all I need.
Ooh.
To this day, I have never received one. It's so sad.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Ice cold cherry. I guess that I. Have I not bought you cherry Coke before? I feel like I bought you. Red, white, and blue ice. I forget what it's called.
Red, white, berry. You did
yes,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, you did do that.
Several times.
That was good. That's good.
I'm close.
The simplest is just a single ice cold cherry Coke.
Ice.
Just one.
I don't think I can do that for you this year. You're too far away.
Yeah, it'd be too hard to deliver here now.
I should figure out where your address is, get somebody to deliver you one, and like pour it in a cup of like ice.
That'd be it. Perfect.
Just like random delivery. Here you go.
You can hold it off. I had someone give me one cherry Coke once, but it was warm.
How far away does your brother live for you?
Oh, he lives about 50 minutes away. He could probably 50? Do it. And I've told him about this, right? Because we were having a discussion, right? Because we were just BSing around for our Friendsgiving out here. And I'm like, what's everyone's favorite gift to get, like, receive and get and stuff just for fun and see what people would say? And people are like, you know, my favorite one I ever received was this Game Boy or this, some of this, that, and this. And it comes around to me, and I've always been consistent because we talked about a fireplace, too. I'm like, one ice cold cherry Coke. Just one.
You should ask him for a fantasy win because you could use one.
I had people give me a six-pack, and I'm like, it's close.
It's not one.
It's just one.
What if I gave you two of them?
It's detailed to listen. Two, yeah, that's not it. Two's different.
I'm just going to give you two.
Because it matters about the details of listening to somebody else. It's kind of what's also important, right? Do you listen to the other person? Do you take what they're saying?
Mm-hmm. See, but
that's what matters to me.
See, but I'm that person who likes to, like, give you what you want, but, like, in a way that's not... Like, I'll just give you, like, two or three, and you're like... I shouldn't complain, but also, like, you also know I just wanted one. And I'm like, yep, but here's three of them.
Yeah, there's that kind of style, too. It's like, just, like, try to emphasize, like, just one ice cold cherry Coke. And ice cold. And one. Single. I don't want two. I don't want one waiting in the fridge. I don't want one waiting for me. One ice cold cherry Coke now. Yeah. And the amount of people I tell them that, and they don't believe me, like, that would make...
Okay.
I had people do what you do. Here's a six-pack. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to have extra. I want the one, and it's done. You know what I mean? That's really just the one, super small, super simple, and it's about the listening thing. So it's,
I'm pretty sure I gave you one at one point. I feel like I might have. Maybe it was with other things in it.
Yeah, that's one of the things. You gave it with the meal. I think it was McDonald's. Or was it McDonald's? Yeah, remember that. But it's never been just like one ice cream drink.
I mean,
it's fun, though.
I'm pretty sure I gave you a spiked one before, at least.
You gave me a spiked one. That was a little different. I don't know if those count.
I think you're just too picky.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cherry Coke or if it's spiked, but all right.
I'm gonna give you what you want, but there's gonna be like a roofie in it, and you're just gonna wake up like, what? What just happened?
Which goes to those like narcissistic personalities and stuff, right? Like those kinds of things. Like I like when people spend the time to listen to other people and try to understand them. What's your situation? Then ask questions. I hate when people assume stuff.
Yeah, I will say narcissists can give some pretty good gifts. But that usually comes with
with a hitch.
Yeah.
Gifts should not be given with a hitch. Like, if you're going to give a gift, you give it to give it. If you ever expect anything back from anything, I have my friend, one of my friends, right, does this. Well, I brought you to this place, so now you have to do this. I don't have to do shit. They'll hold their gifts over your head. Like,
yeah.
That's not what you do with the gift. A gift should be unconditional. Mm-hmm. That's usually how I try to live it. Like, for instance, I got my roommate a DSLR camera because she had a passion. She wanted to get a new one. She couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada. Talking about she needs to fuel her art, stuff like that. So, like, perfect. Here you go. I have money. What am I doing with it for? I think this will help your passion drive. They always get to turn because you spend the money to do it. And it's like, yeah, but I have the money. What am I going to do with it? I'd rather make you happy.
Fair. All right.
So it's kind of those things.
Yeah. I'm like, when it comes with gifts, I can be... Like, I've told people before, like, if you just could, like, buy me a comic book or, like, a Pub Funko Pop, I'll be happy. Like, it's not hard.
Yeah, you don't have to go extravagant with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like practical use, too. Like, something you're going to use.
I love how we just, like, went off on a random GIF talking. This has nothing to do with Penguin. Nothing to do with Soft 25. And this is why it's never short.
Yeah, we go on a ramble. How do we even start the GIF thing, anyway? Like, where did this even start? What do we say? Oh, the cup! The cool Spider-Man cup.
It is a dope cup. This is full of green tea. It's the biggest cup it also has a handle. It's nice. I don't know. It's a nice cup. But anyway, I think we're calling here, Donald. We're an hour past our 45 minutes.
Nice. Was it how much? What is the software? Riverside?
Riverside.
I like this one.
Me too. We'll keep it. I'm going to look into it. So, all right. Thank you, Donald. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Don't Evolve Me.
To me, Mario. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.